Is Motor Chat on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.
And welcome to Motor Chat again on this Wednesday evening. And we're going to have a great time tonight. here we have Kathy and Ebi and Harold. And we'll do our usual thing, we'll talk about something to do with motorcycling.
And but tonight, before we do that, can I just... you've got to introduce the guest, but I've got a word I want to make first.
Go on, say it.
Say the word.
I always knew that that once the sun goes down, yes, it is dark. The sun is no longer shining. Thanks for telling us the obvious.
But like Harold said the other day, when the moon comes up, it's still sunshine because it's reflected light from the sun. So there you go.
I'm not sure how that all fits in, but...
Well, it fits in because I said that when the sun goes down, it's not going to be sunny anymore.
Oh. So, yeah, all right. Our special guest tonight is Mick from Wall to Wall Ride. And, of course, before we forget, thanks to Michael at Six for another great show and lots of great music. And, of course, there's music coming up after this show, isn't there?
I hope so.
We'll
tell you a little bit more about that towards the end of the show. Welcome, Mick.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, the important thing is, Mick, what is the Wall to Wall Ride about?
Wall to Wall Ride's about commemorating the sacrifices of police, the ones that have passed away in execution of their duties, and also the camaraderie that we have, which we use to get over those sorts of sacrifices that have been done.
Mm. Okay, so it's just a long ride, is it? Or
it's an annual ride. Every September we go for a ride to Canberra. Unfortunately, we have to go to Canberra. It's not necessarily my choice of places. It's sometimes cold and wet and miserable, but it's to Canberra. It's our national police memorial there.
Yeah, actually, our experience of Canberra, it's not always wet, it's just cold.
Bitingly cold.
Yeah, we have a daughter that lives over there, and it is cold.
I think we're travelling 3 to 4 times a year over to Canberra, and if you're in the wrong time of the year, it is not comfortable.
Especially the trip over the mountains.
Yeah. Mm,
exactly.
Through the back, but it's fun.
Rain, hail... Snow.
So now you didn't experience any rain, hail, and snow on the walk.
Not this year. No. We have in the past. Yeah. We actually rode through on the way home. We come back over the Brindabellas and went through some snow up there. Actually rode through snow. Yeah. Good fun. And we found some ice in the middle of the track, which was also a bit of fun if you like going sideways.
Because we did that one time too. There was a cold front came through. We left Canberra. And it was nice. Weather was reasonable. Then all of a sudden it started raining like crazy. And we were told later when we rang back to Jen that they actually had snow in Canberra, and we saw a whole heap of ice again further down the track as well. So I know I've got a fairly good idea what it's like.
If you can see it, it's good. If you don't see it, it's just fun.
Yeah, because at that time we didn't go through Brindabella, but we came back down through Wee Jasper, down to Tumut.
Yep.
And that's mostly dirt. It was good.
Yeah. Scary though. When I was watching the thermometer go from 12 down to about 4. Not nice.
So this is not talking about wall to wall. Starting off with wall to wall, now it's just from South Australia?
Every state and territory around Australia. So every year we send our people, we don't send our people volunteer to go on it. That's all in their own time.
Yep.
Police officers, retired police officers, friends of, family of, supporters of police are all invited to come along. Mm-hmm. And we do the pilgrimage, if you like, each year to Canberra. Yeah. So you come across in Perth, hell of a long ride. Come down from Darwin as well, they do the same thing. They bring down half a dozen riders each year or more. And we meet up in Canberra on the Saturday of the event. And at the Canberra service, it's a very informal sort of service. Everything about this ride is informal.
Yeah. And do you have car support or...?
We are very lucky. We've got a full-size car trailer enclosed, which we use as our little support vehicle slash esky slash bag carrier, made for Harleys, because Yes. Funny enough, most of our vehicles that break down are Harleys.
And I didn't even say that this time.
I'll feel the lightning bolts come through as we walk outside.
Okay, not in this room, because believe me, that's a comment that gets made
often.
So
now the next question is, what bike do you ride?
I ride a Yamaha Tenere. Mm-hmm. So I'm a dirt rider instead of a road rider. Yeah. I stay away from the bitumen as much as possible.
So you go onto the verge and ride there?
No. We don't need to do that. We've got dirt roads all over the place that unfortunately don't go directly. So we do a few more Ks generally.
Yeah.
But dirt roads as much as possible.
From each state you have one group going on the main road and one group going on the dirt?
When you say it's group, it's very, very small.
Okay.
On average, about six or seven for us over there. Majority of our riders, we average 100 riders over the last 6 or 7 years. Have been 100 riders from South Australia each year going over there. This year is a few more. We had a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Most other states will have mainly road riders. That's what it's about. Coming from Perth on dirt would be a long
bit
trip.
Awkward, yes.
Yep, a long trip. The old air highway would be good. But, it's for us, it's functional. We take 5 days or 4 days to get there. Any more than that, you start to sort of you struggle on time to get there on time. So we do an average of 450 to 500 k's a day.
Yeah,
on dirt it's pretty good. I enjoy that.
Yeah,
road bikes will do about the same, but they're in 2 hours before us. We're normally coming in when you say the sun's no longer shining.
That's not me.
Night time. Yeah, so that's our normal arrival
time. Is that night time? Is it right? Okay. Oh.
So if you're going to be on dirt most of the way, what's your route?
Changes every year. So if you do the same thing every year, it becomes very boring.
Yes.
So the tragic part for us is going from Adelaide to Canberra, and you look at the map, there's only so many ways you can do that. We've done the V, we've done the W, we've done the half XC and all the other things. We've tried to get there in different ways. So we've been across the top of the mountains. We've been via the river, via Griffith, by Orange.
How about the coast?
That.
The coast is
we've
fantastic.
Done that several times.
And come up through Bateman's.
Yeah, so that's really good if you've got nice weather. And we plan it in, our route will be set probably about March, thereabouts.
Mm.
So we plan for an event that's going to happen 6 months later with no idea how the season's going to be. So if you plan to go Mount Gambier through Portland, all that sort of thing, along the coast, really nice, unless you've got really bad couple of days of weather. So we try and stay away from the coast on the way over there.
Yeah.
For that reason, try and give you a bit of shelter.
Yeah.
We can always divert around something to get to the next stop.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's one thing that we've got to thank COVID for is when we couldn't go through Victoria to get to Canberra, we found the back Wentworth Road. So from Renmark through to Wentworth, 160 k's of absolutely magnificent dirt.
If it's in the right condition, yeah.
It got worn out a little bit by the time COVID finished.
Yeah, by the time we got to the third journey through there, it was already ratty.
Yep.
And the last time we went through there, they were grading, they were rebuilding the road. So
yeah, new power lines gone through.
So that's even more.
Look, there's a lot of stuff out there that's good,
beautiful,
usable dirt rides.
Mm.
So that's good. Now, we've asked you why the finishing point was Canberra. Because it's
the National Police Memorial. Yeah. That was built in 2006, or finished in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So there's over, and I should know the numbers, but top of my head, over 760 names on that wall. So since all the police forces, and roughly, 178, 180 odd years old, most police forces, in that time, 700 and odd names have been added to that wall.
Mm-hmm.
So from our point, that's our honour to be there.
Yeah.
For their sacrifices. So we commemorate their sacrifice and their loss.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Canberra, is it?
King's Park. So if you travel almost due east out of Parliament House, down King's Way, over the water, first left, and there's a nice little memorial there.
Oh, we'll have to have a look at that next time.
Mm. It's a nice spot. It's, as I said, it's very subtle. It's not like the National War Memorial, which is huge and
right, a bit in your face at times, but
Very much so. So this is only a wall. There's the flags are all up there, and South Australia is always the first flags. When you look at it, South Australia's flag is always the first because they were the first organised police force in Australia.
Right.
So there's a little bit of history there for us as well. You know, we can always stand up and go, "Hey, that's us."
Yeah. Good on you.
So it's that's where we go there. 29th of September each year is St Michael's Day, the National Police Remembrance Day. Our ride is roughly 10 to 14 days before that. not by choice, because ideally you get there for the day, but then all the commissioners and all the important people, if I can put it that way, go there for that day. So that's a significant day. We try and make that as significant as possible, and we give them all the grandeur and all the pomp and ceremony that it deserves. So our going there is basically highlighting it for. And we also raise money for police legacies around Australia. So each of the states, when they pay to go on the ride, the money is all pulled together and we pay back there. So we're raising around about $20,000 a year at the moment for police legacy, which is one of their biggest fundraisers for the year.
Mm. So it has a multiple purpose for the ride.
There's a huge purpose for it. Is basically we rely on each other so much in our job. And Ambo's Foray is the same sort of thing. We rely on each other so much. So when people are running the other way, away from things, we're running towards it. Foray's, Ambo's no different. And we rely on each other a lot. So when we go on these rides, it's an opportunity for us to talk about perhaps some of those black things that you and I wouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
You probably think I'm a bit strange if I spoke about some of the things and have a laugh about them. So it's good for us to, we come together at the end of the day, and motorbike riding, as we know, you got your helmet on, except for those things that you can talk to your partner with. They're horrible, those intercom things. you've generally got your life to yourself. So you've got your helmet on, you've concentrated on the road, and not much else goes through your head because you've got to concentrate so much on the road around you. So those little things that perhaps in the back of your mind are there, and you can generate some sort of thought process around it. So when you get to the other end, you've then got another conversation with a person that's been through exactly the same thing. We have a chat about the bird that just missed you, or the kangaroo, or the truck that almost wiped you out. Then it goes on to our professional life, if you like. So we're having to talk about the things that are affecting us or otherwise.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's a good outlet for us. It definitely is a good outlet for us.
Yeah.
And it'd be no different to the ADF, the returned soldiers and things. Same sort of idea, same sort of principles. Mm. Yeah. If you've got a heap of electricians together, they'd be talking about, I don't know what they talk about, putting wires in things, I guess.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know what makes their minds tick.
They probably talk about a lot of shocking things.
Oh. I didn't say that.
Next.
tell us,
thank you.
Tell us a bit more about the police legacy and what the money does.
So 35 years ago, police legacy started, we're just over now. They started because there was a need to look after our people when they're down and out. So if I've been in the job for 38 years, 33 years ago, Dave Barr was killed out at Salisbury. And that was only 2 years earlier a year earlier, where Police Legacy had been formed. Legacy didn't have any money in those days, but Legacy offered all their support to the family. They had a wife and two kids, two daughters, 7 and 9. So my interaction with that was, this is fantastic. We've got an organisation that looks after our people in these bad times. So Legacy is more than just looking after the deceased, the members of the past. They're also looking after the families of very sick members as well. So they give funds to students, for example, for excursions or for getting their licence or the next step in their in their life outside of school and things like that. So Legacy looks after more than what we sort of put our mind to normally. So it's not just about the members that died and looking after your family immediately afterwards. This is ongoing support for a long time. So I should know the numbers, and there's 70-odd legatees coming in. It's their first time involved in it. So their involvement is, as a big arm comes in and says, we're here to support you.
Yeah. So Police Legacy is a volunteer organisation, or is it run by?
It's run by a board.
Yep.
And all our members are asked to put in whatever it is, a fortnight that the payment was. Like when I started, I think it was $1.13 or something like that. But it's about $7 a fortnight they ask for, which is tax deductible. So it costs about $4.50, about a coffee or thereabouts. Mm. Maybe half a coffee.
sure.
So it's just a little bit of money goes from everyone pays it, and everyone's gets a benefit out of it, because even though it's not benefiting you directly, it's benefiting your mate who you've seen go through those hard times.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a wonderful organisation that we've taken a leaf out of the ADF, out of the soldiers' past, where they've done that for a long time, and you can see the benefit with the RSLs and those sort of organisations where they look after their people. and offer them a leg up or an arm around the back sort of thing.
Yeah. Look, I think with most emergency services, there is a lot of stuff going on that can be quite confronting.
Hmm.
So there is a lot of issues on the job.
Yeah,
particularly psychological when you see some horrific stuff.
Yeah,
so you need that.
It's not a job for everyone. No. And when you get the support back, you go, oh, this is actually, you know, I've got people around me.
Mm.
And Legacy being an organisation not necessarily of police officers, for police officers.
Yeah.
So not necessarily the people there working there, especially the ladies who do the contact with the families and things. Not related to police, but they're there to help police. So it's a nice little sort of segue away from it, but mm-hmm. they're there to support them. And members on the board and things like that are all there. So the direction is correct.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice hand up or a nice, as I said, an arm around the shoulder to say good day.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the legatees who are the wives and widows there. So they get to go out for Christmas lunches and a couple of trips a year. And they come over to Canberra this year with us.
Oh,
about 12,
great.
I think, in total come over. It's fantastic. It gives you the reason. You sit down for your dinner and go, oh, look at that. Those lovely ladies over there, and most of them got a wicked sense of humour. So it's a good night. It's just nice. It brings it back as to why you do it.
This is Motor Chat on 88.7 Adelaide's Coast FM.
Yes, we're back. Harold, Cathy and Ebi, and we're talking to Mick from the Wall to Wall Ride.
Now, we had an interesting chat off air just then. We were talking about, I suppose, what you said before, the black humour, you know, which I think for people who have been involved in the emergency services in some way, it is, like I say, a way of letting off steam. So on the ride, how important is that to the overall function? You mentioned sort of in passing before. Of the ride?
It becomes very apparent when you see the people talking amongst themselves. You see the people who perhaps were a bit quiet beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
They get engaged in the conversation because suddenly what pressure is perhaps on their shoulders is now mm-hmm. being shared amongst two or three others.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see their demeanour changes, their approach to people. You actually see them having fun. Yeah. And for some people, it's a long time coming.
Yeah.
So to give them the opportunity to perhaps sit down, have a talk, have a laugh, and perhaps have a laugh at things that they said you wouldn't laugh with your neighbour, perhaps.
Yeah.
It may not be seen it'd be appropriate.
So you also mentioned that back in the beginning that we had a larger contingent of people coming from South Australia. Are you able to talk about the
reason? Yeah. So this year, you know, it's been almost 12 months, so... Brevet Sergeant Jason Doig was killed down in a disturbance at just outside Bordertown, a place called Senior. Just before midnight, got called to the task, which is a normal sort of thing for them. That's what they do day in, day out. They go to these sorts of things, not knowing exactly what's going to confront them. Jason had been from outside the area, actually volunteered to go to it, which is what he was. He was a very good community-minded person. Very much aware of what his role was. And unfortunately, that's one of those risks that we take day in, day out. It's one of our roles that we go to things that people don't want to go to, and sometimes those things, we got a surprise we didn't know about.
Yeah.
Mm. So for us, Jason's number 62 on our wall, on our police memorial wall. The previous one was 21 years earlier in 2002. Which was Bob Sobczak. He was a motorcycle policeman who got cleaned up in a traffic collision on at Tungillo.
Okay. Yep.
Unfortunately.
I remember that.
Yeah. So he was our last one. So
wow, that's
in 2002 we actually commemorated his death, being the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And Jason was on that ride.
Yeah.
So yeah, strange things happen for strange reasons or well, the wrong reasons, I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not
sure. I think it's prior to that, the one I remember was the police that got killed on Gorge Road.
Yep.
He stepped out in front of someone.
Yeah, Mr. Loft. Yeah, Senior Constable Loft. Yep.
Yeah.
That was 1990.
Yeah, it was.
One or 1992. Correct. Yeah, so you know, we've been very lucky. I'll touch as much wood as I possibly can. We've been very lucky. You know, we've had a lot of serious incidents that have occurred. Jason, unfortunately, Jason was the one that came up next.
Yeah. Mm. So with the other states are coming in, what sort of commitment do they have? Is it similar to South Australia?
Yeah, very much so. New South Wales and Victoria, you know, pretty much they live in Canberra, you know, it's on the, pretty much their border. So New South Wales sent a large, very large contingent down. In total this year, there are roughly, I think it was 1,800 people this year involved in the ride. We'd anticipate that to be about 2,200 normally. This year, unfortunately, due to police operations in Victoria and a protest that was over there, a lot of their personnel were tied up on that. So we probably lost 200 to 400 people that didn't go on the ride from Victoria because they couldn't get released from work because of work commitments.
Yeah.
So ordinarily, you know, you say 2,000 people ride from all over the country to go to Canberra.
Yeah. On the Facebook page, there's all these wonderful photos of police bikes in Canberra. Did any of the states bring over their police bikes?
Quite a few do.
Yeah.
Queensland actually do a purpose printed, if you like, bike down for it. They actually put a wall-to-wall bike on the ride and they send it down. Right. Amazing-looking bike. New South Wales just send all their bikes down, not say all of them, but a large majority of them down because it's in their state pretty much. It's pretty easy for them to organise. I don't know the numbers coming down from Queensland, probably 8 or so, I'd imagine. Mm. And then Victoria sends some up. Tasmania used to send one up as well. So most places will try and send them over.
Yeah, because watching it on the news, it was quite awesome to see all of the bikes, and there were a lot of police bikes.
Yeah.
That were,
it's impressive to see.
It's very impressive.
It's nice to see as well. A lot of friends who live over there, and my brother-in-law was over there this year. And he's blown away by the view, you know, all these police motorbikes, police cars, etc., and the bikes lined up. It's like an Anzac parade on steroids because it's going so much faster, but so much shorter as well, though. So, 2,000 people going past on motorbikes makes a bit of noise, holds up a bit of traffic.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. They're your own bikes and not the police BMWs, aren't
they? Correct. Yeah. So okay. You did right. There was a whole heap of police motorbikes to start with. They lead the formation.
Yeah. And that would be quiet.
They are, yeah. And then some of those Harleys which drop pieces off along the road and as bits and pieces fall off.
And again, I didn't say that.
Okay, so, and we thought our 9 police bikes at last year's Toy Run was impressive.
It was,
because we only had 150 riders because of the wet.
Yeah.
But all of the lights that they were manning, they followed back in and they parked at the gate. It was brilliant.
They're one of those things that you never want to see them in your rear vision mirror.
No.
But when they're doing their job and you see them in front of you, they're good to see. They are,
I was very just thinking about the word going out that there's going to be 2,000 extra plainclothes police in Canberra for this weekend. So watch your P's and Q's. It's like the Phantom coming to town.
You just never know, do you?
Actually, that's the thing in Canberra. Everything, the police presence generally seems to be very obvious. What we've noticed is you don't see them and then all of a sudden it's bang right in your face. But not a hell of a lot of it there. I think most of it seems to be AFP.
Yeah, so that's the only police in Canberra, unless they're New South Wales over in
Queanbeyan.
Yeah,
because they can't come across the border.
No, they're not allowed to.
Yeah, and just to let you know, a big shout out to Wayne. Wayne's listening to the program over in Ballarat.
Oh, there you go.
So we're going into state again.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Okay, so. When you're in Canberra, okay, like you've got the service, how long do you actually spend in Canberra for?
We're there for about 2 days. We try and get in on Friday, around about lunchtime on Friday to give the people a bit of a chance to get in. You know, it's only riding for 3 days, but it's constant riding for 3 days. So we try and get in early afternoon. Yep. So we're there for the Friday night. We get up and you're basically wasting half a day waiting to go.
Yeah.
The Canberra Motorcycle Shop over there is fantastic. Have you had a chance?
It's an amazing shop. We've been in there.
So, it's one of those things. You try and keep your credit card where it should be. So we generally form up around about lunchtime. We head down to the convention centre in Canberra, Epic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And unfortunately for the Canberrians, we actually close off the road for about 2.5 hours.
Barton Highway.
Federal Highway?
Federal.
The other side.
So that's blocked off for a couple of hours because, we want to try and get out.
Mm.
So when we pull in, we go to the centre, spend about an hour there, they get things organised. There's a couple of stalls and things there so we can buy T-shirts and things like that if you wish.
Mm.
And then they, okay, out on the road and form up. And then you sit in the road for about half an hour while everyone else forms up, and the whole road is still closed.
Right.
It's an amazing highway. Mm. It's a big highway coming through, the major arterial for them, and we close it.
Yeah, well, there are other ways around it, though.
There is, yeah, and we can, and they do.
They have to find their way around. They have to.
You just got to find a roundabout. And another one.
And then follow that one. Actually, one time we were in Canberra, and of all the opportunities we had, a certain politician who at that time was the Prime Minister came down with a visiting dignitary
down one of the
mountains. Everybody had to stop while his entourage came through. If we had gone straight through, we could have saved Australia a fortune.
That was down Fairbairn, just near the War Memorial. I know.
And I won't go any further than that.
And I won't condone it.
But no, it is actually Canberra is an easy place to go to, and that's it's great to see.
Yeah. So for this ride, do you get time off from work, or do you have to take holidays?
It's all holidays or retired folk. You know, they do what retired folk do. Yeah. I'll just go for a bike ride. I feel like. it's all our own time. Yeah. We have sent over in the past a couple of motorcycle policemen just to be involved in the ride and things like that.
Right.
As I said, the states who send over their motorbikes and their cars will be in uniform in work time. That's just common sense because they've got to carry their gear and things. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us, for the majority of the people on the ride, probably 90% of the people, it's all your own time. We fund ourselves going over there. Yeah. There's no fundraising done for the riders to go on the ride. The fundraising is done by the riders for Legacy.
Yeah.
So all the money we raise goes to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So such a big event must have the support of your superiors. In what way do they show that support?
Our boss goes over to Canberra and basically speaks on behalf of the South Australian Police, be that commissioner or assistant commissioner, whoever it might be. It's very hard for them, especially at the moment, like everyone else, all the other professions in the same boat. We've got so few people and we want to take 100 people away and go, for us in South Australia, there's probably, 60 of those maybe, 50 of those might be actually working. Mm. So trying to get 50 people off at any one time for a week is pretty hard. Mm. So the support's there. We get support from the police motorbikes as well. So when we head off, depending which way we go, if we're leaving the police academy at Fort Largs at Taparoo, we leave early in the morning. We're leaving about 7 o'clock in the morning because we found if we leave any later than that, when we're going through Port Rush Road, etc.,
you get caught.
We don't get caught because we've got green light escort, which is really nice.
It is.
The unfortunate part is for the people going across the road, they're stuck. And if we leave, later than that, and that's the obvious thing, that ties them up for an hour and a half to 2 hours. It actually blocks up the road or traffic, slows it down for up to 2 hours. So we're very mindful of that. We're not just using it and abusing it. It's a safe way of getting people out because everyone stays together. I mean, get them on the bottom of the freeway and off we go. Go the other way to Mildura, it's quite easy. We get out to Port River Expressway and we're gone. There's no, there's no traffic hold up. We're not causing grief, and that's what we're trying to avoid by doing the green light escort. Yeah.
So now you mentioned before some of the names that are actually on the memorial. Obviously, they're not all motorcycle police. So
no, unfortunately, if you go back in the last 40 years or maybe a bit more than that, there's quite a few motorcycle policemen on there. In the last 15 years, there's something like 26 names have been added to the wall.
Wow.
And there's about 4 motorcyclists in that group. So it's a part-time sort of living when you're on a police motorbike. It's better now than it used to be. And I think our driving sort of encouraged that. And there's also far less policemen on motorbikes.
Yeah.
If we go back, we used to have over 150 police motorbikes. Now I think we've got just under 40 thereabouts.
Right.
It's a big impact on that. If you go through the names, there's and the honour rolls there, you can see that National Police Memorial's got the memorial, and it actually lists all the people and how and what happened to them, basically.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So one of the policemen you're talking about, I think, is Queensland, 2011 or 2012. They're actually doing an escort for a wide load, heavy rain, trucks coming the other way, panicked, I guess, jackknifed in front of the police motorbike, and cleaned him up, killed him at the scene. So those sort of things, that's what we do day in, day out. It's not necessarily go into those siege situations or the, you know, the high-risk incidents or that sort of things. They're just your day-to-day things where you're on the road trying to do what you're meant to do. We had a young lady in Mildura just recently, 2022, I think that was, Briar Joyce. She was driving back with her partner, coming back into Mildura, just on her way back. She was 8Ks away from Mildura. Car on the wrong side of the road, straight into her, head-on crash, killed her, and seriously injured her partner. So that's what we commemorate those people as well, because you know, they were just going about their job. You got the ones just before that, the four on the highway, the freeway in Melbourne, four killed very, very soon after COVID sort of hit. So the hard times are the best times, and then suddenly you've got an even harder time, and a very hard way of trying to commemorate or support them at the time, because there was no, as you said, COVID was strange. There's strange times.
Oh, so.
Actually, when we come back, we'll talk about that support that you've got for the members.
And you're listening to Coast FM 88.7 here in Adelaide, and the show is Moto Chat. And coming up at 8 o'clock is Belinda Wade riding the coast waves.
It's a bit chilly for that today.
It's not too bad today.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back to the wall-to-wall ride with Mick. And what I'm just curious about one thing. You talked about all of these people coming along. Now, could we, for instance, join in the ride?
Well, you have to put a mask on, because I couldn't possibly have you come along the way you are at the moment. Sorry, Mark. That's just a bit of a low dig, wasn't it? Anyone that's supportive of police is more than welcome. Our main group, obviously, is the focus of the police and their families. And we've got a number of members number of riders come along with us now who are part of our family, pretty much. Some people who are teachers. We've got some other people who basically had a good experience with the police many years ago and wanted to pay that back. So we've got those people coming along. So there's no restrictions. As long as you do the right thing on the road, we're more than happy to come along. And as long as you put your hand in your pocket, we're more than happy to take your money from you. And there's no need to do any offences to get that money over. So you can donate it.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Because I think at the moment, actually, I'm points free, I think.
Oh, wonderful things.
At the moment.
Wonderful things.
That doesn't tell us much about your lifestyle, does it?
No.
So our concept is the ride was brought about because there was a need for it. There was a need to get people together. There's a ride for the fallen, which is in Texas in the US, and they do a very similar sort of idea. Two of our colleagues in New South Wales and Victoria got together at a pub, had a cold beer or 15 or two, and they discussed basically having a motorbike ride and how we do it. That discussion turned into more fruitful sort of conversations, and then went across to WA and they spoke to a person over there who also was interested in motorcycles. 2010, it kicked off their first ride, and they had WA, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria all come in. And then the following year we picked up as well and we joined them.
There
is a need. I mean, we have our Ridden On ride, which is a similar thing. The riders get together and then go down for a short ride and then have a memorial service and then we all go home. But for a lot of people, it's very useful.
It is, and it's like we were talking before, it's the camaraderie, it's being with somebody else who knows exactly what you're going through. And I did say before that, before we went to the Riders Roundup, that we were going to talk about the support that you have, the psychological support from counsellors. Is that an important part?
It is an important part, but it's not what we do on wall to wall. The wall to wall will pick up, and you know, we'll try and pick up that, you know, Mary J over there isn't quite travelling so well. Offer support, support, wherever it might be, and perhaps we can go back to our own through work, the employee assistance scheme. People can get involved and perhaps have a listen to what's going on. The police legacy people do the same sort of idea. We've got the same availabilities through legacy. There's a lot of people able to help, but it's that little reach out in the first instance, which might be picked up because of the ride. And they might realise on the ride they're not travelling so well and they're actually enjoying what they've got, but perhaps it's not, that support's not there for them afterwards. So we like to think of it as being a great event for a whole heap of different reasons. We're raising funds, yes. We're raising the profile of motorcyclists. Yeah. We're raising, you know, safe motorcycling. However, this year, unfortunately, we had one of our motorcyclists die on the way down to the ride this year from Canberra. Yeah. From Queensland down to Canberra. Going past a car somehow, lost control down an embankment and died on the ride. It's a sad fact for motorcycling. It's you know, we don't have four wheels and a steel cage around us.
It's certainly, yeah.
Yeah, because unfortunately with the statistics, and you know, I think we talk about them on a regular basis, the fact that motorcyclists are so many more times likely to be involved in a serious accident or a fatality purely because of the nature of the beast that they're riding. And it's, yeah.
Again, no second chances, really.
No. It's the second chance is the time when you actually hit the road, because you've already had your first chance when the collision occurs.
Yep.
But, Yeah. No, the reason I ask that is because we've had Black Dog Ride come in before, and that's what they specifically do. They, when they're on a ride, they talk and they counsel people who are struggling with mental health issues, and mental health comes in many, many different phases. Mm. It can be through grief. It can be through just poor living habits, whatever. So the ride, the mortal war, would have that same aspect of having that camaraderie together.
You can see it with people. You can see that, you know, they've picked up because of it. They actually recognise it. Some will make mention of it on the ride. I try and talk to quite a few of them after the ride, and it picks up. You know, we've actually enjoyed ourselves. It's the first time we've spoken about that, or it's the first time we've actually had a good time for a while, you know, wherever it might be. It's there and it helps. So, yeah, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, we've spoken about the senior officers within the various police forces supporting the ride. Now, let's go one level further. Do you get a reasonable amount of support from the political scene as well? Or was that an awkward question?
No, I like the question. I sort of hinted at it when we first spoke. It's a very unofficial event. We try and keep politicians, not necessarily keep away from it, but they're not invited either, because this is wholly and solely, this is a the police family coming together, we have a talk about it and we move on.
Right.
29th of September, that's their day. That's the official day, the pomp and ceremony day. The, you know, the horses are out, the flags are out, the dress is out, the medals are out. You know, we've got to polish those occasionally. That's the day for them. The wall-to-wall is a very informal, it goes for about 20 minutes, the ceremony. And if you've been to government ceremonies in the past, you know, you sort of, 20 minutes, you haven't even started yet, we just put the first coffee down. So it's very informal. So it's not to keep the politicians out, but it's meant to be.
It's meant to be for you.
A family affair, if you like. You know, and a family is probably a bit of a stretch for a word, but it pretty much is. It's for us, and
look,
it's about
us. It is a family, and that's all motorcyclists are a family, and within that family there are different sub-families, and that's exactly what it's about.
And those own Harleys.
You call them motorcyclists?
I hope you're listening, Brett.
It is a family, because even riding through the suburbs, riding out on the road, going on a trip, motorcyclist comes along, give him a nod.
It's a nod.
We're both out here. We know why we're here and what we're doing. And so we can depend on each other if something goes wrong.
Yeah. I was in the States.
That's what a family's for.
Yeah. I was in the States only a couple of months ago for a ride over there called the Dream Ride. The same sort of thing. There's, I don't know, 300 motorbikes went out for a bike ride just to help raise some money for people with intellectual disabilities. It's actually the same thing. The camaraderie is there. The wave is a bit easier because it's on the right side of the road, the correct side of the road, and the direct side of the road. It's a bit easier to put your hand out.
Yeah. So nice. do you maintain contact with the other jurisdictions?
We advertise. If you've seen the website, there's a link to each of the states, so each of the states know where we're going to a degree. Like, you know, we don't advertise we're going on this road, because sometimes those plans change, and then you get the people going, well, you didn't tell me that. So we try and stay away from that, and also we're trying to just have an informal ride. Different places, different times. We've stopped at Loxton. We paid tribute to Kirsten Bowden. She was the nurse from Loxton who was killed in the London Bridge attacks. So we stopped there and we paid tribute there. We raised some money for her foundation, which is Flinders Medical Centre, I think. There's a course down there. So those sorts of things. We try and go places, and we identify some opportunities there, if you like. Louise Hinks was a firefighter down in the southeast who died at Coles just outside Narracourt, not far from Lucendale, as it turns out. She was killed a couple of years ago, and we raised money for her as well. So it's just those things that we can recognise along the way. You know, we spend around about $170,000 on our ride that goes in the community. That's pretty good. You know, that's not bad. And that's not including, and you know, the wives got to turn the radio off now. That's not including the new tyres and the new jacket and new socks and new jocks and, you know, those sort of things that motorcyclists buy when they go past those bike shops. So roughly $170,000 to $200,000 is what we'd be spending when we were out for our ride for a week. And it's, you know, roughly 8-9 days we're away.
Yeah.
The only time we didn't make it was when we ran across to around South Australia for the two COVID years where we couldn't leave the state. Mm. We could, but you couldn't get back in. So we didn't leave the state. So those couple of years we were probably a little bit down on the spending, but probably $100,000 in the community at that time was huge for those people.
Yeah. Well, we've actually sort of just had a bit of a general chat previously about the impact of motorcycle tourism. And the money that a motorcyclist brings into a small community is actually quite large, but, you know, when you think about it in real terms. You know, because it's not very often that a motorcyclist can't go past a bakery.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's many about
page 42 of the rules. I'm sure of it.
I'm pretty sure I saw it. And you ask any member of the Ulysses, they know exactly where every bakery is. But it's money coming into a community which normally wouldn't be there.
We have to stop every hour and a half to 2 hours. We have to, because that's where your fuel range is.
Yeah.
And funny enough, you've got to stand up and get off your bum for a while.
Yeah.
So that you're dead right. We do stop a lot. And we tend to stop. The problem is we stop in big numbers and we go to the service stations and suddenly there's a whole service station wiped out just for a few dollars worth of...
Actually, it's funny because we came in through...
through the
Balranald,
plane, hey? Yeah.
And there was a group that had left Hay and it was about 100 bikes and they were pulled up in the BP service station that's just on that corner.
Mm.
We came in and they made way for us. We're going to be here for a while. You go in and fill up. And I thought, wow. Yeah.
Good people.
How generous was that?
Mm. Mm. Good people.
And when we chatted to them, we said we were motorcyclists as well.
Yeah.
But they saw how loaded the car was and realised that we couldn't take that on the bike.
Yeah. Now, a very serious question is that even if I don't come on the ride with you, how else can I support you?
Probably the best way to support us is supporting Legacy. We do take money in, and when we stop in places sometimes, they want to buy either stubby holders or even what have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Legacy is where our money, you know, that's where our funds are directed to. So Legacy, would receive your money gratefully. Mm-hmm. They can send the receipts out and things like that. But Legacy is probably the easiest way. It's easy to find and easy to direct you that way.
Right, okay. It sounds good because that gives us an opportunity for anybody to put their hand in their pocket.
Thank you, very much so. I guess the other thing that's there, and I didn't bring it up and I probably diverted away from it, was the baton. You mentioned the baton before.
Yes.
Every state has got its own baton. So there's a gentleman, as a former commander high up in the New South Wales Police, who was a fitter and turner. He actually made some batons for each of the states. So each of the states got their own timber. So each state is known for their timber.
Yeah.
Chewon Pine, I think, down in Tasmania. Ours, I couldn't tell you, to be honest. But so he's made a baton for each of those, and it's hollow in the middle. So there's a scroll inside, and all the names of members of the past are in the scroll.
Right.
So each year, we just hope there's no more names added to the scroll. So if we lay the... It's a very nice ceremony in Canberra. The riders get there, they'll drop the baton down. Put the baton down on the slate there, and each of the states do the same thing. So all the states and territories, batons are lined up. And we just hope that this year there's no unscrolling of the scroll and no names are read out. That's you asked before about the baton. That's what the baton's about. So each of the states got that. The commissioner holds on to the baton until the time for the ride. He then relinquishes the control of the baton and hands it over. Thankfully in a nice way as opposed to above his head. Sometimes I'm sure that's what my commissioner wants to do to me, but that's the reason for the baton.
Right,
so there's a couple of photos on our website with the baton, and that's very special. We also nominate a person each year to be the baton carrier, and there's a reason for that person for that year, and off we go.
Now, what's that webpage?
Wall to Wall Ride. mm-hmm. for remembrance. So Wall to Wall Ride will generally come up on your Facebook.
That's right, yeah, because that's all like. No,
is it, it's only on Facebook. You don't
no,
have a webpage.
No, it's actually a webpage there.
There's a webpage as well.
Not for South Australia.
Yep.
Well, you know, I'm not that good with computers. But the national site, which covers everything. So the National Police Memorial is on there. The Honour Roll is on there. Mm-hmm. They have a raffle each year. We pretty much for $10, you've got a fairly good chance of winning a motorcycle, Yamaha motorcycle each year. I'm hoping that Yamaha continue supporting that because I've just plugged them. They've given us motorbikes for the last quite a few years, so very big supporters.
Mick, we're very fast running out of time.
1 minute.
Yep. And do you have a last comment before we go?
We rode into Lucendale this year for Jason, and his parents were there, and the community was there. Really nice. Just a very pleasant day, and Lucendale School there. If you ask me what the ride's about, that's what the ride's about. Yeah. The parents were there. It was. It must have been very dusty and very windy. There's lots of people wiping their eyes. I'm not sure where the dust come from, but lots of people with dust in their eyes.
Yeah. That gives you a bit of a chill.
Thank you, Mick. Thanks for coming on and telling us about it. And folks out there, remember Police Legacy, not just when there's some trouble going on, but all the time. Next week, we have Fred Keel from the Lions Bike Show, and he's going to tell us what's happening out at Macclesfield. And until then, a very quick farewell from Marty Jack before Belinda starts coasting the waves.
Farewell, Auntie Jack. We know you'll be back, though you're 10 feet tall.